Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Thank you. Obviously, thank you, Rose and Kevin. It's been wonderful to be back in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Thank you, Adam, and your house here in Exchange. You've provided us with so much. And that worship, isn't it so beautiful when we just center everything intentionally on Jesus? So why don't you just put your face up to heaven and just let Jesus hear your sound this morning. Just tell Jesus you love him. Tell Jesus you're grateful. Tell Jesus you're thankful that he is the Holy One. He is a miracle worker. And we are so grateful. Amen. It was interesting. Rose stood up and also, sorry, I didn't catch your name, Stephen, you picked up that phrase, House of Miracles. And there was just something in the air. We weren't just singing a song, we were making a declaration, weren't we? We were speaking to the heavens above and we're saying, no, this is a house of miracles. And I know just chatting that, you know, you've had health challenges in your house personally this weekend. But he is a God of miracles. This is a house of believing. And I love that this is a house of exchange. You give and you receive. And often in our natural personality, we're better at one or other. We're either a squirrel or hoarder. We love to receive. Or we're sort of guilt motivated or just, I don't care, give it all away. And it's interesting how God then brings that stewarding in our lives and teaches us how to give intentionally and receive graciously. The exchange. And as we come to Jesus, that's who he is. And then we made that declaration come alive. And I believe God is awakening, even in that, you know, you could have preached from your worship set this morning. Come on, come alive. What expectation, what hope needs to be recaptivated? You know, which balloon has got a bit deflated if we're going back to balloons? Where do we need that breath of God to go, come on, come alive. You know, Ezekiel 37, so come on, find some breath. Breathe to everything that looks a bit disjointed. Come alive in that name of Jesus. Which dreams and opportunities just look like, nah, pass the sell by date now. But God is speaking to you today and he says, no, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't lose hope, expectation, vision, even in your personal life, maybe for your family, but for Northern Ireland, for our crazy, complex world, where it's easy just to stick our head down and think, whatever, check out. No, come alive. Stand in your right place, doing the right thing in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Father, we pray that even as we sang those songs, you'll write them in our hearts and write them with our lives, that we really would be, and we declare right here in Belfast, a house of miracles, a house of believing, a house of exchange, a house that knows how to give and receive, a house that knows how to come alive to every dream and calling of God. And even those opportunities that look like, nah, that's finished, we breathe the breath of God on them today. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for your breath. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk about three pairs of opposites, which illustrate the complexities of almost living life in 2024. You know how we have grace and truth, judgment, kindness. All through Scripture, we find these like oxymorons where God so easily is able to hold both ends. But for us to live with real kindness and judgment is often more challenging. But I'm not choosing any of those ones. I'm choosing slightly different ones. My first set is stamina, endurance, perseverance, and straining expectation. It's the ability to stand, but also the ability to push. Be still and know I'm God. But strain forward. And it's like, God, can you make your mind up? I believe as we leave 2023 and step into 2024, God said this to me. I don't know. Well, let's take a poll check, shall we? How many were quite glad to see 2023 finished? Put your hand up. You can put them right up and look around. It's not the altar call. It's fine. Keep them up because I still couldn't get a full gauge. How many would you say? 50% are like, yeah, finished. And I felt God say this for you. He said, I want you to finish 2023 with thanksgiving and shut the door with graciousness. Don't just slam it. Think, thank God, boom, done, and move on. How many of you know we can do that? Just think, it's finished. Bang, had enough. But God wants to give you an understanding this morning that the way we finish is actually the way we step forward. And how we transition into this next year of 2024 is important. Hebrews chapter 12. None of my scriptures are real rocket science today. They are the good bread and butter of what we believe. But they're profound. Hebrews chapter 12. Since then, we are surrounded by such an incredible crowd of cheerleaders, witnesses. Come on, throw off everything that could hinder, control, limit your forward advancement and sin that so easily entangles. If you wonder which version I'm reading, I've put together about 3 or 4. ESV, New Living Translation, but Amplified. And this is the Amplified Rachel version. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of cheerleaders, the grandstand, the cloud of witnesses, come on, throw off everything that could hinder, limit, contain your forward momentum and sin that could entangle and hold you, tether you to the wrong place. Because you are made to run with perseverance, endurance. There is a race marked out for you. So fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. Come on. There's a joy that he discovered even in his suffering. And he endured that cross, scorned the shame and sat down. Now consider him who endured such opposition from sin so that you don't have a weary whatever attitude and lose heart as you step into this next season. So God is saying to us, come on, let's throw off every hindrance. The exhaustion of 2023, the weariness, the hopelessness. Maybe it's just the ill health, financial challenges, living with pain, or living with someone who is a pain, but we won't go there. God, we want to break the inertia where we just feel we got stuck, the strangleholds, the resistance. God, we want to shake off the negativity where our stinking thinking just controlled us and we couldn't focus and fix on Jesus. And we ask you, Jesus, to come into yesterday. Remember, he was them, Jesus is the same. You can preach for me yesterday. And so Jesus, come into that yesterday. And God, as I said, he gave me 2 words, stamina. So how many of you just need stamina so you can look at 2024 through a good lens, good perspective, Jesus-filled hope? And he says, I want to gift you stamina. stamina, perseverance, endurance, that ability to, having done all, still stand, Ephesians 6:18. So I want to pray that for you. Father, I want to pray a Holy Spirit stamina to be able to do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, with the right people. And Father, where there's just that inertia, that feeling of exhaustion, where we've been overwhelmed, we want to throw off everything that could hinder us from living in that house of miracles in 2024. Amen. So why don't you just say with me, today, Lord Jesus, fill me with stamina, endurance to do life well. In Jesus' name, amen. So stamina is that resolute endurance. It's a beautiful word, actually, in the Hebrew, hupoeno. And it's that hupo is literally the superhero sort of thing. It's the upgrade of the... But... in that endurance is also the longevity of consistently doing the right thing at the right time. But it's not just stiffer upper lip, stick your head in, oh, I can be stubborn, I'll get through. It's to be able to endure and do consistently the right thing with a song and happy disposition. So it goes through, I know in my knower, I know that I know God is with me. I will get through, rather than flipping heck, here we go again. Stamina. With stamina, God says, I want to give you straining expectation. Opposites. So I want to read Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained everything or that I've arrived at my goal, but I do press on and take hold of what of Christ Jesus for what he took hold of me. Precious Exchange Church, brothers and sisters, I know I haven't already taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what's behind. And I have stamina for yesterday, but I strain towards what is ahead. I wonder if you are on tiptoe with eager expectation, straining. You know, we've just had Christmas, and you know, it's wonderful if you've got kids in the house under five. I remember Margot, our little granddaughter, she's 4 years old. We have two children, and Gordon and I have six grandchildren. Three of them Australian, three of them are English. Guess which? We have Leela, Alani, and Cooper, and we have Margot, Annabelle, and Jeremy. But little Margot comes in, she says, Granny, we have a tree, but no presents. So I said, oh. And I said, well, that's because Mummy put the tree up on November the 21st. I said, Father Christmas doesn't come till December 25th. She said, oh. She said, I was very excited. Straining it. But come on, what are you excited? What gifts of God? Guess what? We don't have a date. Our God is able to supply every day. I'm straining for what I know God has for me in this season. God wants to upgrade that faith, that sniffing. You know, I'm sure it's in the Bible somewhere, but I call it the sniffing anointing. You know where you just something, I can see something, I sense something, I can sniff it. Come on, God. As you look into 2024 for Northern Ireland, come on, awaken. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive. Come on, not, oh, you go again, Stormont this. Ah! Come alive. Maybe you should go sing to Stormont, come alive in the name of Jesus. Might help. We
Where is that straining expectation? What needs to be reversed? What needs to be envisioned? Where does your hope needs to wake up? And as I was praying about this, of straining with expectation, I have a black Labrador called Bella. I call her a puppy because it makes me feel better because she's so badly trained. But she's actually 3 years old. And still, when I take her out, it's like, and I'm thinking, Bella, heal, Bella. But we are straining with expectation because she knows as we get around that field, get around that corner, there is a field. And she immediately sit, boom, bottom down, because she knows. Then leash comes off, rocket dog. But to get around that corner, my Lord, straining with expectation. What's God got round the corner for you? What has God got for you? You know, I am ready to strain forward. Come on, Adam, what's God got for you in this season? What's that expectation that sometimes we're almost scared to articulate? But I want to say, come on, 2024, God, open those doors. God, open doors of opportunity. God, open the doors of expectation. Is that good? So can you see yourself on stand saying, and Jake, God is saying, come with me. I've got things for you. And rather than, yeah, I'll get to it, be like my Bella. Ready, steady, gone. Can I pray for you? Why don't you just put your hands to heaven as if you're going to receive a gift and just say, Father, I want to ask you to fill me with expectation. Let the breath of God come. That everything that's been deflated, everything that's been stepping back, God, I put my feet to the line and I ask you in this year, let me and my heart agree with the Apostle Paul to the Philippines church. God, will you wake up in my heart and that there will be a straining expectation inside of me for what is ahead. God, wake it up in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So we've done stamina, preach with me, we've done straining. I don't know if I'll get three done. Maybe I'll get just the first two pairs done. The second ones is the nation's rage, but you are in perfect peace. How many of you know we're living in that? I mean, we've got Russia, Ukraine, and as I shared, I can't remember which of the meetings, but Heart Cry for Change, I like exchange, we're Heart Cry for Change. We work into Moldova in Ukraine, and we've been there, and we've seen the horrendous chaos of war. And then, of course, we've got Israel and Hamas and Palestine. We've got Iran and Yemen, and so we could go on. The nations are raging. And God says, it's okay, I've written about it. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations conspire? Why do people plot in vain? You know, the Putins and the Ayatollahs and everything else, they've all got their schemes. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, come on, we're going to break their chains. We're going to throw off their shackles. But the one enthroned in the heavens, what does he do? Laughs. Psalm chapter 2. And I don't think it's a mocking laugh of, ha, 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 you stupid idiots. No, I think it's just the laugh of, I see such a different picture. I live above it all. Oh, the laugh of joy, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the laugh that just says, I can see the end from the beginning. And he scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger, terrifies them in his wrath. He says, no, I've installed government, kingship on Zion in my holy mountain. I proclaim the Lord's decree. I say to my son, I become your father. And then verse 8, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. And it's in this chaos of nations fighting, confusion, plotting, planning, with God in heaven saying, I've got a plan, I've got this, that he then looks at the church and says to Belfast and says to the Exchange and says to Covenant Love Church, hello, are you going to ask me? And when we look around our society and our culture at this time, you know, 2020 decade has not been the greatest. We had COVID hit, and that was pretty intimidating. Got through that. And then we've had all the financial crisis. You know, you're going to starve because food's got so expensive. You're going to freeze because you can't afford to forget your house. You know what I mean. The media telling us all the stuff. You're going to lose your job. And so then that anxiety, and now, well, there's going to be war. Third World War, this is the end, you know, do-do-do-do, Armageddon. And it's hard. So the nations are raging. And God says, I want you to be counterculture. But I don't want you just to be an ostrich and pretend, oh, yeah, that's going on. I don't watch the news because I don't want to know. No, he says, you engage with it. You ask me for nations. You release a sound. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Don't just pretend it isn't happening. Yes, the nations are raging, but God is on his throne. God has got this. And he's looking at you and he says, come on, Belfast. What are you going to say? What are you going to decree? Ask of me for the nations. So, Father, we ask you for Russia. We ask you for Ukraine, for Israel, for Hamas, for Iran, for Ireland. We don't know how to fill in all the gaps, but we are going to stand here and say, God, we're asking the God who sits in the heavens and laughs, who knows all things from the beginning to the end. God, will you hear our cry on behalf of the nations and act in your graciousness, in your kindness, in your mercy and judgment, and help us in our distress? And he says, if you ask, I will gift to you nations. Give you. That's a Christmas gift. Come on, God, give us Northern Ireland. Give us your kingdom coming at this time for this provinces, these provinces at this time. We need a breakthrough. Ask. I shared, and again, one of the meetings, that many people are calling 2024 the year of elections. Did you know, according to Bloomberg, 42% of the global world are voting this year? That's huge. And 44% of the GDP, 6% of the nation, so that's 42 are actually voting, 6% are considered insecure nations at this time without a functioning legal government. Moldova being one of them. Northern Ireland isn't great on that list either. So come on, Father. This year, 16 nations in Africa, 6 nations in Asia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, Taiwan, we just had. You might have seen Congo, just voted there. Indonesia, Iran. 13 European nations, UK, Russia, Austria, and the USA, all voting this year. If ever there's a time we should be smart and bring an alignment between heaven and earth, while the nations are raging, we stand and say, God, we ask you for nations. We want to ask you that your kingdom come. We want to ask you for the African, Southeast Asians, Iran, Russia. We ask you in this governmental year of so many men on earth making decisions, let your kingdom come. Do you agree? So while the nations rage, let's make a sound. But then in the midst of all of this, He says, I give you peace. I want to read you Isaiah 26, verse 2 to 4. Really interesting. It says, open the gates, 2024. Open those gates and doors. For the righteous nations will enter, the nation that keeps faith. So we're talking nations. Do you know what Isaiah 26, verse 3 is? I bet you've got it on your fridge. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast, because they trust in you. Isn't that interesting? Verse 2 is the nations. 2024, there's gates, there's doors being opened for nations that are righteous and keep their faith. Verse 3, and I'll keep you in perfect peace. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is your rock. Many of us can feel the anxiety. How many of you, if you are courageous, can say, yeah, I felt it. Give me your wave. The reason I'm asking you to do that is because when we feel anxious and think, we can feel, I'm the only one. I want to say, it's almost an enemy plan. There are almost clouds of anxiety and thing. And when we recognize, oh, you're feeling it too, then we can partner and say, actually, don't be alarmed. We're going to stand together and say, we're not going to be overwhelmed with this anxiety, with this thing. Do you get what I mean? Because the thing about fear and anxiety, it loves to isolate. And the kingdom of God and church doesn't do well when we separate. It does really well when we collaborate. We're made to do life together. And so, John 14, God says this in verse, the Bible says this in verse 26. But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in my name, will teach you all things. Come on, he's going to help us in this complex season. He will remind you of everything I've ever said. If you're in granny granddad mode, that is a great verse. Jesus will remind me of everything I'm about to forget. But listen, John 14, 26, I will teach you all things and I will remind you everything. That's a verse we should have on our fridge. God, teach me everything about this season. God, remind me of who I am, what you've called me to, what exchanges, what Belfast is, what Northern Ireland is, what you do in the nations. God, remind me you are a God of miracles. God, remind me you bring things to life. God, remind me when everything comes at me and I feel the fear. And in that atmosphere, he says, I'm going to remind you and teach you everything. Verse 27, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. This is not a peace as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, anxious, stirred, intimidated. Do not be afraid. Amen? And peace is not fluffy. It's not, oh, I just feel really calm, zenned out. That's not biblical peace. Biblical peace is executive and the government of his peace. It literally is walking into chaos and bringing order into disorder. It's bringing alignment into the raging of the nations. So peace isn't just like, oh, if I don't move, I feel okay. You know, so much of our sort of cultural understanding of peace is if you just, you know, concentrate enough, empty yourself, you know, yoga, theology, it's warped. Because you see, they teach you, empty yourself of everything, you find peace. My Bible says, fill yourself with God, you find peace. Empty is dangerous, filled is good. Amen? We live full. So stamina, straining expectation, nations raging, executive peace. Come on, he said, I will gift to you. Are you ready to receive it? Receive a gift for peace. I actually believe one of the redemptive, if I Do you understand what I mean by redemptive gifts? The devil tries to give you one label, but God says, no, I always intended you to have this label. That's what I mean by redemptive. For Ireland, you know, you had the troubles, you had chaos, you had war, you had unkindness. It was like the devil wanted to graffiti the gracious attitude of the Irish people, which is hospitality, kindness, generosity. I've been here, as Rose said, 30 years. I came in the real trouble. I came when it was a barn at Belfast City. You stood on the tarmac and you prayed it wasn't snowing and raining too bad because your bag was dripping by the time you got up. How many remember those days? And you got in trouble if you didn't go in the right shop at the right time. And it was all nervous and anxious. But I believe the redemptive gift should never have been troubles and chaos and hay. I believe God created this green MRR to carry green peace, executive peace, to demonstrate. And often Ireland is known for the Peace Corps in battles and things. Do you get what I mean? But there's something about you that is gracious hospitality, the redemptive purpose. That's what God wrote on you. But the devil's graffitied on you. But as the nations rage, something needs to ask for the nations. No, we ask God's purpose. Let your kingdom come. Let peace rule in this land. Executive peace. My peace I give to you, Northern Ireland. Not a peace that the politicians can sort. It's a governmental peace that comes from God. You do understand government and politics are different, don't you? And God loves government. I don't think he's great on politics. So put your hands up to heaven as I come to close and hand back to Anne. And as you put your hands up, I want you to imagine that you're penetrating every cloud of fear, anxiety, stuff that comes and just say, those atmospheres go in Jesus' name. I receive peace. And God says to you right now, I give you peace. And as the nations rage, I give you a gift of peace. Isn't that beautiful? Just receive it. Thank you. Every anxious thought, right from your home space, where maybe there's sickness or financial trouble thing, just let precious Jesus walk right in, look you in the eyes and say, I'm giving you peace. In your office space, going to work, in your community space, in your national space. God, the nations may rage, but you have commanded peace. And so, Father, I pray for the precious people today. I pray they will be people who carry your presence and live at peace with great hope. In Jesus' name. And you know, while every eye is closed, maybe you're here this morning and you admire God, you know God. You maybe have even had a relationship with God. But if you're really honest before God and you've heard me speak today, yourself are saying, Rachel, if I'm really honest, I'm not letting God, this God of miracles, really order and control my life. My life's a bit of a mess. But you're here in the house of God today. And I want to encourage you, come alive in the name of Jesus. No church can save you. Church can help you. Church can give you family. But church can't save you and rescue. Church is just the place we learn to grow. Jesus saves you. And it is that vital connection of a real relationship of you and Jesus that changes everything. And you have to let go and let God and just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you, Jesus, in my life.
And sometimes we've never really let him in, or sometimes we did let him in, but life has just pushed him out. And you, if you're really honest, in that internal space, you just feel a bit dead. Today, before you go out the door, make an appointment with Jesus. And so what I want to do is, while every eye is closed, if you know you need to reconnect, it's almost like you need to put that socket back in heaven and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I'm sorry. I've really pushed you out. Got overwhelmed, but I want you in my life. Then on the count of three, I'm just going to count 1, 2, 3. I'm going to ask you to say yes to Jesus. So here I go. 1, 2, 3. If you're saying yes to Jesus, just put your hand straight up to heaven and imagine you're touching heaven. You just do it right where you are. Just put your hand up to heaven. Thank you. Many in the room. Just keep your eyes closed. But everyone who's got their hand up, I want you to imagine God's just taking hold of your hand and saying, I've got you right now. And now, as the whole church here together, I want us to pray one prayer together. Because what you say now is like marriage. You stand at the front of the church and the minister says, do you take? For me, it was Gordon Crawford Fitzgerald Hickson. And despite his names, I still said, yes, I do. And I want to do that with you right now. I want you to put that hand to heaven, and I want us all to pray. And I want you to say, Jesus, I take you today. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Father, today, I take you into my life. I'm sorry for the poor choices I have made. Please forgive me. But today, I choose you, Jesus. Come into my life. Help me live it well. Fill me with peace. Fill me with hope. Fill me with expectation. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Now, if you prayed that prayer, tell someone, I really took a step to really dig in to my relationship with Jesus today. As we have coffee or tea or cake, I believe. Then talk to someone, say, I did that. And let them help you. Amen. Thank you, Adam.
Rachel, thank you. Thank you. It's a word in season for us at Exchange as well. We've been delving in. It really felt the last 6-8 weeks about transition, do you know, and moving. We've talked about the Israelites going in across the Jordan. So there's so many lessons in that and depth to that that's really applicable to us. I just want to touch on this. We're going to welcome the worship guys up just for another song here. At the very end, if you just, Rachel touched on that transition and closing a door graciously from last year, from previous seasons. If you want someone to pray with you about that, about leaving behind the old, remembering the old, being thankful for what's happened, but closing it graciously, we want to pray for you as you step into your future. So at the end, there'll be a few of us at the front. Just we want to pray for you, okay?